Welcome to the Nobody Guide to Life, where we provide tips and tools for personal growth, personal development, and your spiritual journey that you can use right now in your everyday life. I'm J.A. Plosker. Thank you so much for joining us. So, COVID-19. It's everywhere, right? The news cycles, social media, it's there all the time. And the irony of this is that if we're quarantining or if we're sheltering in place or whatever you call it, we can't really go anywhere. But the news about the virus finds us, no matter if we're isolated or not. And there's an interesting thing about this pandemic. It's forcing people to think about what it means to go without, if they're not used to that, or to pare down, or to live with less, or to live more minimally, or to conserve more. On that note, I've actually discovered that I am quite the origami master in the bathroom now. I can do things with one square of toilet paper that would boggle your mind. I'm considering a second career when all of this is over. I want to be the person who creates those cool napkin folding designs at restaurants. I think that would be great. But anyway, you all know how COVID is impacting your life, and I'm certainly not going to be one more voice out there in the digital wilderness telling you to embrace this moment as a time for growth or catch up on writing that novel or whatever. But you know, I appreciate that message, and I think it's useful sometimes, and it's been pretty inspirational to me. But well, you know, for many people, that's not realistic right now. And many people still have to work, some even harder during this time. So for them, that message rings hollow. And I want to add a huge thank you to anyone listening out there, medical workers, delivery folks, grocery and warehouse store folks, restaurant workers, people in the service and cleaning industry, sanitation, the armed forces, anyone who's out there right now, essential workers keeping the world going. Thank you for helping us through this. The point is, we all see this pandemic in our own way, through our own filters. And the key underlying factor for all of us, as I said, is this idea of less contact with loved ones, less certainty about things that we may not have thought about before. And for me and Melissa, it's manifesting as less paper goods used, right? Less gas used. But it's also manifested as more energy required to entertain our kiddo, more mental energy planning shopping outings and meals, more patience. So maybe now that I think about it, this pandemic is about less and more, yin and yang, trying to find balance in a new normal that for many of us isn't normal at all. And as many of you know, Ramadan, the Muslim season of fasting, started a few days ago. And that got me thinking about this show and the deeper meaning of what we're experiencing. And I remembered that a few years ago, I had a show on about giving things up so that we can make room for something bigger. And that was a really popular show, and people have asked me about it in the last few years since it's been on. And a big part of that show's focus was fasting. And I think that's a good lens to look through when we're talking about lack or perceived lack. Because a lot of times the idea is that if we go without in the food department for spiritual reasons, what we get back is something bigger, maybe a bigger sense of appreciation for food or a greater sense of awe if we believe that there's some kind of spiritual force that provides that food, or a greater connection because we're not as distracted through the day with food and eating. So if you'll indulge me now, I'd like to play that show for you. It's way back in full episode 11, E11, for those who remember. And I think the message of sacrifice, discipline, and that perpetual search for balance holds true now more than ever. So whoever you are and wherever you are, please stay safe. Please take at least a few minutes a day to think about the spaces created by this pandemic in your daily routine and the ways you choose to fill those spaces, whatever that means for you. All the best to you out there. So today I want to talk about self-discipline on the path of personal growth. But I know that sounds scary, but we're gonna narrow it down. And I want to think about it in the context of fasting, of giving something up to make a space for something larger, something bigger than ourselves. So as you may or may not know, we're in the middle of Ramadan. It's the month when Muslims around the world fast and reflect. And it's actually one of the five pillars of Islam. And it's a remembrance of the first revelations of the Quran to Muhammad. So observers usually stay away from food, water, and other types of activities during the day. And this observance can be pretty strict. And, you know, there are a few exceptions to this fasting, you know, children, people who are sick, some other exceptions. But if you talk to folks who fast at this time of year, many will say that they avoid big meals in the evening before the next day's fast. So not a lot of salt or spicy foods when they break the fast. Now, for many of us, that would be a form of discipline in itself, even if we could eat through the day. You know, it's really hard to give up things that we love or crave. But at this time of year, for folks who fast, it's really about moderation in food to keep a steady cycle. So instead of indulging, denying, you know, and you can get really caught up in that kind of a cycle, that's a powerful level of discipline on top of the already difficult discipline of abstention from food during the day. Fast can be broken at the end of the day with a simple date fruit and some water before eating a lighter meal. So if you read the Nobody Bible, you know that, or you may know that I was a comparative religion teacher for a while, and times of fasting always brought up interesting discussions in class. So students who were observing fasting as the semester was going on would often The students would often field questions from other students about the purpose of their fast. So some of the questions would get really deep and profound, like, you know, why do you do it? Or what happens if you don't do it? And that last question was always really fascinating. What happens if you don't do it? There are so many rules and restrictions in religious circles. And it's interesting to ponder, what happens if these rules aren't followed? Do people do what they do out of a sense of obligation? Is it a desire for salvation? Is it a desire to fit in socially or to fit in with your family? What happens if you don't do it? So these are really interesting questions. And they're beyond this episode. But it's something to think about. Anyway, people fast for a variety of reasons. I usually had students give all kinds of reasons for why they were fasting. And it's hard to know the minds of every person. We just can't. So many religions have fasting as part of their yearly calendar. And whether or not you observe any religious traditions, I think it's good to understand the rituals of others. So let's spend a few minutes talking about fasting in different traditions. So for our Christian friends, the season of Lent may be something important. So that's the 40-day Easter preparation that goes from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday. Now, this is the time Jesus was in the wilderness, and he was enduring Satan's temptations and getting ready for his own ministry. So Lent is a time of giving something up or fasting in order to reflect on a relationship to the holy. So focus turns to prayer or other disciplines at this time. Does everyone do a full fast for 40 days? No. Some fast on only one or two special days, and some not at all. Again, people are individuals, and they can make their own choices and decide how they want to express their religiosity in that season. For our Jewish friends, the day of Yom Kippur is a time of fasting. So for the Jewish faith, Yom Kippur is the holiest day on the calendar. It's a time to be really close to God and to seek forgiveness for wrongdoings in the previous year. So practitioners might avoid food and drink and stay away from other things and spend that whole day in prayer. Now, the Hindu calendar is really interesting. They have a lot of days devoted to fasting, and followers, devotees of certain deities will fast on certain days of the week that are devoted to that deity. So, for example, maybe if you're a follower of Lord Shiva, maybe you fast on Mondays, or if you're a devotee of Lord Hanuman, maybe you fast on Saturday. There may be fasts in honor of a deity multiple times in a week. So many ancient traditions held fasting in really high esteem, and it was done as a way to purify, to focus, to prepare. If you wanted to commune with the holy, it was a way to be a little more pure, a little more humble. There are fasts before and after confessions, before vision quests, all in a spirit of preparation. Now, I don't want you to walk away from this thinking that, you know, this is a general rule across the board for fasting. It's not. You know, we have the other side of this whole idea of self-denial and fasting and its role in the spiritual life. So the Buddha actually found his awakening after he stopped fasting. So he was searching for liberation and an understanding of the mind, and he tried fasting as a method. That was a really popular method in his day. Now, some stories say he only ate a few grains of rice a day. That's not a lot. So he realized when he could feel his spine by touching his stomach, he thought to himself, well, I'm probably not going to live long enough to figure anything out about the great truths of life. So I better make a different choice here. So he ate some food that was offered to him, and he got his energy back and he started meditating again. And the rest is history. Now, we know how we feel probably during the day when we don't eat for a few hours or we're at work. You know, we get pretty tired. Well, imagine doing that and only having a few grains of rice. You might start to think about, how am I going to get the things done that I really need to get done? Now, when he did eat, he didn't gorge himself. Okay. He took a meal. And Buddhist monks certainly don't gorge themselves either. But what he did is he found a path of moderation, one that would keep up his strength, but also emphasize humility. And I think there's an important lesson there as well about a middle road, a middle way, as the Buddha might say. So you may know fasting in other contexts as well. Some people throughout history have fasted or stayed away from food and drink for a period of time as a protest against certain policies for political reasons or humanitarian reasons. Or maybe you've had a medical treatment and that required you to fast. So whether or not you're religious or spiritual, you've probably participated in a fasting ritual of some sort, even if it didn't have any spiritual overtones. So why are we talking about all of these ways people fast? Well, for one, it's interesting. I mean, at least I think it is. I like hearing about how people express their religious or spiritual beliefs. And I like learning about how religions help bring structure and meaning to people's lives. You know, as a religion scholar, I spent a lot of time talking to people who were actually practicing these traditions, and it was always interesting to hear. Now, for another, it's nice to build bridges of understanding between cultures. That's one of the things I tried to do in the Nobody Bible, and it's fun to introduce these global concepts and dive a little deeper. But for this show, it's about those tips and tools we can use right now on the journey. And fasting, well, you know, it has a lot to offer. Now, I'm not suggesting you run right out and fast. No, you should always check with your doctor before taking on any fasting practices. I'm not even suggesting you stay away from food. I want to look at fasting in a broader context, in the context of giving something up in order to create a new state of awareness or to clear the mind for a sharper focus. Now, yes, giving something up may not technically be a formal fast, but I think they're pretty closely related. And for some, they can share the same goals. Let me share a story with you from the Nobody Bible. So years ago, I knew someone who gave up chocolate for Lent, okay, that season we just talked about. Well, this friend decided that this was going to be their sacrifice. Chocolate was her passion, and by her admission, it was her greatest vice. So she decided to forego it for the Lent season. Now, things were going along great for her until another friend's birthday came along, and in came a chocolate cake from a legendary bakery in the area. Now, this was a bakery famous for chocolate cake. Guidebooks, locals, everyone knew about this cake. Oohs and ahs, you know, when that this gooey cake came in the door. Everybody was making these amazing sounds, except for one person. To her credit, when she was approached with a slice of cake, she simply said no. And I heard her explain to the person holding the plate that it was Lent. And then she said something that I'll never forget. She said, "My love for Jesus is more than my love for chocolate." Now, for my friend, she knew a simple truth. If I give up something I think I love, it draws my attention closer to what I really love. So for her, giving up her greatest vice was a small way, in her mind, of repaying what she considered to be the sacrifices of Jesus in his life. When she was presented with a piece of cake, it set off an inner dialogue. "I love that, but wait. I'm dedicating a few weeks to remembering that someone else made a sacrifice for me, and I want to honor that with my own sacrifice." Now, she didn't stop anyone else from eating, and we didn't stop her from believing and focusing. And it was a moment that had a real impact on me, and it still does. And it seems like a small thing, but I don't think it is. So no matter your religious leanings, if any, I think that example tells us something significant about the power of sacrifice, no matter what our religion or spiritual leanings. When we love something or someone, we're willing to make a great sacrifice for them. Whether we're talking about a religious principle or our child, a spouse, our best friend, I think the point holds. And when we sacrifice for something or someone we love, we don't really feel like we're losing anything. At least most of the time we don't. It might be uncomfortable for a while, but I'm guessing that for you, like me, it's worth it in the end. And it can be on any level. We start a new way of eating because it matters to someone we live with. Maybe we give up nuts because someone in our household has an allergy, or we stay away from sugary foods because we know someone close to us that's struggling with diabetes, or we give up our quote unquote free time to be with an elderly parent because they spent so much time taking care of us. So what's the point of all this? It's this: if we want to reach new heights in personal or spiritual growth, sometimes that means making sacrifices of time or of certain habits we don't want anymore. But here's the thing. This self-denial, this going without, it's not a foreign concept to us. It's not just the stuff of ancient religion held away in dusty books. We already know how to sacrifice. We do it all the time. Sacrifice sounds like such a scary word, but if you think about it, it's something we already do and often do willingly. I just gave a few examples, but in the morning when your alarm goes off and you go to work, instead of staying home and pursuing personal projects, that's a form of sacrifice for a greater principle. So I don't want you to forget that. When it comes to personal and spiritual growth, then we really can commit to giving something up so that we stay focused on a greater goal. So we're in the midst of Ramadan, right? This time of fasting for our Muslim friends around the world. So let's learn more about this worldwide energy. Take some time and research it and think about how that energy, that discipline can inform your own life. So start small, right? So here's the tip. Start small. Give up 5 minutes of your day and sit in meditation. Yeah, you might have other things you want to do. 5 minutes. It's a small sacrifice. Give up watching your favorite show and invite someone in your house to watch their favorite movie with you. You know, there's always that battle over or there used to be when I was younger, there's always this battle around the television because everybody wants to watch a different show. So you know what? Give it up for one night and let someone else have their way. Leave the sugary snack in the pantry tonight and try fruit for dessert to improve your health or the health of someone you love, to set an example. Don't be afraid to create a space for something amazing to arrive, whatever it is, whatever you're looking to do. Find a higher principle or goal. Give up something that can keep you mindful of it and devote more energy to filling up by giving something up. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Nobody Guide to Life. Keep practicing and have a good week.